What is up, ladies and gentlemen? Welcome to another episode of The Essential 11. This one is brought to you by Anchor. So a lot of people asking us lately how we do everything for the podcast. And people are asking about mics and people are asking about lighting and all that. But everybody wants to know how do we distribute. And so Anchor really is podcasting made easy. It's everything kind of all in one place. So it's free hosting. You know, you're able to monetize your podcast. One-click distribution to any and all of the platforms. So big fan of Anchor, and we'll continue to use them as well. So today's guest is a man by the name of Sean Whalen, and I'm pumped to get Sean on. I've been following him for a long time. Have wanted to get him on here for a long time. He's got so much experience in just building multiple companies, both on the apparel side, technology side, real estate side, but currently is founder and CEO of Lions Not Sheep and just an all-around rad dude. One of my favorite episodes by far. You guys are going to love this one with Sean Whalen. And we are live with Mr. Sean Whalen. Glad to finally connect, sir.
Good to be here. Thank you for having me.
Dude, it's a pleasure. So we were talking a little bit about those schools, right? So we had an info session last week. So we do kind of a filtering system for everybody coming in. I had a ton of families coming through the door. We had a line out the door for very few spots on campus. And so we kind of play this game, and it's a long tail process, man, to see if it makes sense to have them here as much as, you know, they want to be here. So yeah. Going through the line and get down to this one lady, and she's wearing the same hat you are right now, and she's wearing
a sheep.
And she's got a Lions Not Sheep sweatshirt, right? And so I walked by and I was like, hey, that you couldn't have worn anything better to the open house. I was like, I think we're gonna get along. And she's like, absolutely.
Your kid's it.
Dude, that was it. I was like, your kid is set, man. Yeah. And she's like, you know what? I listen to your podcast too. Like, if you ever have a chance, you need to reach out to him. And I'm like, just so happens that next week we're gonna do it. So yeah, it's rad.
That's cool, man.
Yeah. So we like to jump in before getting kind of to the questions that the young folks have, like to get kind of the X-Men origin story. And so you've got a cool one, man. A whole lot of ups and downs, good stuff in real estate and business. And you know, so what would you share with everybody as kind of that highlight reel?
I mean, call it a highlight, call it a low light, call it whatever you want, call it a real life reel. Yeah. I was raised in a single parent home. I was really successful at a young age. In my early 20s, was self-made multimillionaire, made through mortgages and real estate. Didn't really have a lot of guidance. I was trying to play the game that I was taught was success, which is the houses, the cars, the money, the whole thing. And I found myself at 30, 31 years old, the market had crashed, and I was still making good money over here, but one of my companies was going bankrupt, and scratching my head saying, like, is this the game? Like, what am I doing? I wasn't happy. I wasn't fulfilled. I was running, you know, 20-hour days, had 170 employees, just burning the candle at both ends, as they say. And to make a long story short, left my marriage, left my business that I had started from the ground up, literally started this myself and walked away from it. I don't know what a midlife crisis looks like or what it really is, but if it's what I did, then that's exactly
sounds
what it
about
is.
Right.
you know, I went through a really, really, really dark period of time where I didn't even know what I was about. I didn't know who I was. I didn't know why I was even here. And so I went on a quest for about 2 years of just trying to figure out why I was even here. And I'm not talking like, oh, how do I make more money? How do I, you know, blah, 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 blah. I was like, why the fuck am I even on this rock?
Yep.
Is spinning through the cosmos, right? Like, why is Sean Whalen here? Why do I have these kids? Like, what's the purpose of all this? And it's led me to, you know, where I am now, which was a lot of light, a lot of darkness, a lot of humility, a lot of understanding, you know, things that I wasn't taught as a kid, and asking a lot of questions. I joke about it, but I'm totally serious. I'm 42 years old, and I ask why more than a 10-year-old does. Yeah. I ask why more than a 6-year-old does. Because I realized that all of us are having this experience at this time and nobody really knows. Like, we got bookshelves of books from all these people that have said, well, here's my thought.
Yeah.
Here's my opinion.
Yep.
And so, you know, it's been a humbling thing. I like I said, I've done well in business. I crashed and burned. I went through a bankruptcy. I went through a divorce. I went through depression. I went through contemplation of suicide. I contemplated for a while there ending my life. And through all of that, it led me to discovering Lions Not Sheep and uncovering that and literally giving birth to that and that becoming my mantra. People don't realize this, but I didn't start with just a t-shirt trying to make an apparel company. I was terrified of who I was. I was terrified of saying what I wanted to say and being myself. And it came to me one day, and my personal mantra was, I want to live my life as a lion, not a sheep. And it started with that. And it's now evolved and grown to a multi-million dollar coaching company, apparel company, consulting company. We're all over the world now. And it's been humbling over the last couple of years to see, you know, not only the growth of that, but how it's impacted me and connecting literally with millions and millions of people through social media,
right,
by sharing my story. A lot of people don't realize that, but I didn't set out one day to, you know what am I going to do today? I'm going to become a social influencer, whatever.
Yeah,
the hell.
Yeah,
that.
Yeah.
I'm going to like make videos and have millions of people watch it. I didn't set out for that. You know, the very first video of mine that went viral, now I have almost a billion views of my videos, was me sharing my darkness,
yep,
me sharing my depression, me sharing, you know, a lot of these things. And so it's been a really humbling ride the last couple of years as I've evolved, just sharing that with the public and sharing that in this space that we have of social media. And it's helped me more than most people will ever know, but it's been a hell of a ride, man.
I have no doubt, man. Well, and that's, dude, I think that's what resonates with so many people when they see your stuff. It's clearly authentic, right? It's authentic, born out of that circular sort of journey you're talking about between looking for purpose and continuously asking that why question, right? Like, that's a circular thing. The more you ask why, the more you find your purpose. And then the more you find that purpose, the more you continue to ask why. You know, it's this circular sort of deal. And we get too focused on this freaking destination that's theoretically out there. And then people feel like, shit, I should have hit it already. Or maybe I did hit it and it wasn't what I thought. So they devolve into what you're talking about with not being happy. And, you know, and so everybody's playing this freaking game. But what ends up getting lost is the humanity of all of it. And you can see that in your posts, man. You're comfortable, you know, or more comfortable than most people, at least, right? You know, it's that authenticity comes out, dude.
Well, and it's funny because as I've thought about this over the years, and as I've literally coached hundreds of people and spoken in front of tens of thousands of people on this, what I came to realize is, like, as I started looking at my own life, right? Like, I read books and I realize that these are other people's opinions. These are other people's experiences. Yep. This is other people's knowledge. And I'm like, that's theirs. What's mine?
Yep.
Like, what am I learning? What am I experiencing? And as I look back through life, I realized that, like, I was programmed to lie. And you were programmed to lie. And all of us, I know they have some young people listening to this, we're as a culture and a society programming people to lie. Because as you're a little kid, it's like nobody picks their own name. You don't pick the language that you choose to speak. You don't pick your morality.
Yeah.
You don't choose what's right or what's wrong. You're programmed with all of these things from mom, from dad, from school, from church, from religion, from the neighborhood, from the friends. And so as I started looking at this, it was like, I didn't even know what I knew. I didn't know that anything was even mine. And so you go back to being a little kid and you imagine being in elementary school, sit down, quiet down, slow down, raise your hand if you got to go to the bathroom. Like, this is what's good. This is what's bad.
That's right.
Most of all, don't say anything that's going to offend anybody else. Just shut your mouth and do as you're told. And then you're a little kid and then you go to church and here's good, here's bad, here's heaven, here's hell. All right. Well, okay. And then you get to elementary school and then middle school and then high school. And then a whole nother layer of complexity comes in where it's just like, all right, now you got to go decide what you want to do with your life and go to another school. And then this is what success looks like. This is the ladder. This is where you'll go. You'll find a girl, you'll get married, you'll have some kids, you'll work, you'll have a 401k. And then hopefully when you're 65, you'll retire. And then you can, like, yay, I made it to the thing. And I realized, like, I was fucking miserable because that was what I had followed. And, and you look at today, our culture, you can't say anything to anybody.
That's right.
Because you're going to offend somebody. And so you have men and women and children sedating, literally, like, drugging themselves to try and fit inside of this box that we've been programmed to think is normal. And it literally drove me mad. It drove me to the point where I wanted to kill myself. I'm like, well, that's kind of fucked up. Like, I have my own views. I have my own thoughts. I have my own feelings. And just because I ask why about God or this thought process of, you know, religion, like, does it make me bad? Does it make me right or wrong? Don't question anything.
That's right.
I want to. You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
And that's what I have found to be my own personal journey, and almost like dismantling what it is that I thought I knew. And I ask people this all the time. I'm like, is it possible I'm not saying it is or isn't, but is it possible that every single thing that you've been taught is a lie? Is it possible? I'm not saying it is or it isn't.
Yeah.
And that's the journey that I went on. And it was kind of like, well, I was told what religion looked like and what God looked like. And I was told what success looked like. I was told what this looked like, but I never really experienced it or questioned it or journeyed on it or built my own foundation around it. And that's like what Lions Not Sheep is. And what I am all about now is like, you know, I bring up God a lot because I believe in God, right?
Yeah.
Whatever. But like, whether you do or you don't, it's irrelevant. But the truth is, like, if you want to know about something, go ask, right? And I always used to teach people, I still teach people, like, you can go ask your pastor, or your preacher, or your priest, or whatever about God, but why don't you just go ask God?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
If you want to know about certain things, like, go experience them.
That's right.
Go ask questions and formulate your own foundation versus reverting back to that little child of, this is good, this is bad, don't say this, this is socially acceptable, this is politically correct, and everything else is taboo.
That's right, man. And that's right. And as soon as you go to ask those quote-unquote authorities, right, or somebody that claims the authority, what you do is you put yourself, at least in my experience too, as I painted myself as a pariah, right? I've gone and asked the pastor, hey, all right, man, so my experience is this, and what I'm looking into is I'm finding this. That's counter to what you're saying on Sunday. So you're saying this, I'm seeing this. Talk to me through that. And instead of addressing what it is because I ask why, then it's like, all right, well, Matt, you're a pariah.
You're off the path, bro.
You're off the chart, dude. That's exactly right. And if you're not going to get back on my path, then you and I are not going to cross paths, right? It's you awaken that fear, right? As soon as you start doing that, these info sessions that we have, I tell everybody for our schools when they come in, I tell these families, we'll have a packed auditorium, and I'll tell them my goal is within the first 10 minutes to try to get all of you guys to leave, because I'm going to question everything you think you understand about what school is and what we should be doing and what I'm gonna expose you as a parent. I'm gonna expose all of these things, all of these fears, all of these insecurities, and you're going to probably not like me. You won't be pissed at the people that lied to you or the culture that has programmed you with all of this BS. You're going to be pissed at me because I'm the one that threw it out there. And that's cool, because if that's your reaction, go ahead and go. And we're going to get down to the tribe that's ready to rock and roll. You know, that's it, man. It's that programming. And there's, you know, it's in so many things, dude, that we just freaking don't even pay attention to.
Yeah.
Yeah. So good, man.
You look at why people are depressed. You look at why so many kids are, you know, killing themselves and addicted to drugs and different things like that. It's because, you know, I have three kids.
Yep.
It's this idea where a kid comes and asks a question. You're like, well, it's just because, right? Dad, why? Well, because I'm the dad and you're the kid. Just shut the fuck up and do as I tell you to do.
Yep. Yep. But
I realized, like, when I was a kid, I asked why and I had questions and I wanted to know. You know what I mean? And when I got that, just do as you're told. You go to church, you go to school, do as you're told. It's like, well, no one's answering my questions. Like, I still don't know. You know what I'm saying? And I'd go and explore. And whether that's exploring in the right path or the wrong path or doing things that are stupid or that didn't benefit my life, like, that's the path that I went down. So it's like, it's understanding that if you're not questioning stuff, you're not asking questions, you're not learning.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, I love all these books and I take nuggets from all of them, but they ain't me.
Yep.
They don't know me.
Yep.
They're not Sean Whalen. Like, my journey is my journey. And I appreciate everything you're saying. I'm taking value from it, but I'm on my journey. And this is what I encourage my kids.
That's right.
People ask me all the time, hey, what's your legacy? My legacy isn't leaving my kids millions of dollars in apartment complexes and this, that, and the other. My legacy, if I quote unquote, do it right, based off my right, is that I've raised three wildly independent, curious children.
Yeah.
That ask their own questions, that build their own foundation, that understand their own why. You know, you said a word earlier, and we can talk about this later if you want, but, you know, purpose.
Yeah.
I want my kids to be able to make their own millions, not rely on mine.
That's right.
My kids to be able to find their own love, their own passion, their own direction versus mine.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And
that's
the scary thing as a dad, because that might not be my path. That might not be my reality. But if that's theirs, then Mission accomplished.
Mission accomplished. That's it. And that's, I mean, you're already addressing so many of the conversations and some of the questions that have come up too. Like some of the questions these young people have that we ask everybody is talk about what it's like to develop self-confidence as a young person in 2021. Talk about, you know, why young people are more anxious now than their generational predecessors, and why all this anxiety. But you're hitting the nail on the head. We've doubled down in our culture. Like this programming, I'm the same age, so I'm 40. How old am I? 41. So you and I are about to say, you know, we're about the same age, right? So we grew up in the same time, man. And so we had all that programming that was there. We were told, you know, that's great. You're asking these questions. Shut up. You just do as you're told. Do as we say, not as we do. All of that stuff. But dude, we've doubled down on that as a culture now. It's even more programmed. You got the programming through social media. It's even more hardcore in school. We've narrowed the focus. You know, it's all those things that I think attribute to that. So how have you broken free? Are you guys homeschooling? How do you guys break out of some of that traditional mold for your kids so that they're not suffering from all this anxiety, especially as they get to be an adult?
My kids have their own level of anxiety and everybody does. Yeah. I have my own level. I mean, I'm anxious as a father. Am I raising them right?
Yeah.
Right? You know what I mean? And I don't know what that means, but that's just the anxiety that I experience. But one of the things that I'm really passionate about, like with my kids, is like being a kid.
Yeah.
Like just be here. And this is something that not only is a very, very, very important message for young people to understand, but also for adults. Yeah. The business of purpose is a multi-billion dollar industry. Okay. People literally are depressed because they don't know their purpose. People are crying and emotional because I don't know my purpose in life. I'm trying to find my purpose. So young people hear me, old people, grown people hear me. Like when you lose your keys, is it pleasant? Are you like, hey, I lost my keys. Let's go find them. No, you're like, fuck, where are my keys? And you're stressed about finding these keys. The same thing translates to people trying to find their purpose. Mm-hmm. I'm stressed. Shit, I don't know. I'm a mom. I'm a dad. I'm a business owner. I'm this. I got to find these things and I don't know. And God says this and religion says this and mom says this and dad did this and my friends are doing this. And I'm trying to find this thing. And literally people are struggling with anxiety. They're struggling with depression. They're killing themselves, literally committing suicide because of this feeling of lack.
Yep.
I don't know what my purpose is. I got to find my purpose. And I feel like I'm a failure or I'm this from this. I want you to listen. Hear this for a second. Like I could give any human being $1 million and say, change yesterday. You can't. It's physically impossible.
Not happening.
Now, here's $1 million. I want you to change tomorrow. Now, the idea is, well, I'm going to do these things tomorrow with this money, right? Well, here's a little wrinkle in the plan. You're going to die by dinner tonight. So the money isn't the equation. You can't change yesterday, and the money doesn't change tomorrow because the truth is you might not make it to tomorrow.
That's right.
And so when you stop and think about it, like I went on a journey as I kind of burned my world down and I wanted to figure out what my purpose was.
Yeah.
Like, why am I here? Why do I have these three kids? Why do I have this tenacious reality of speaking these words and being kind of this bull in a china shop, if you will. And I came to a really, really, really life-changing conclusion. It truly has probably been one of the greatest discoveries of mine personally over the last 5 years, 6 years, 7 years. And it's simply this, like, whenever I'm dealing with anxiety, I'm worried about tomorrow.
Yep.
I'm thinking about the future. I'm thinking about, like, where I need to be, what I need to be, all these rules and things that all these people have told me success looks like or whatever. And if I feel like shit, if I'm dealing with depression, it's because I'm thinking about yesterday. Oh, I screwed up as a kid and I was such an asshole and I broke the law and I smoked weed and I drank before I was 21 and I'm such a fuck up. I end up being depressed. What's really fascinating is that I found personally that the only place that I truly felt peace and felt complete and felt good and felt whole was right now.
Yep.
It's imagine sitting at a sunset, watching the most spectacular sunset, and you're worried about what the sunset's going to be tomorrow. where you're talking about the sunset from yesterday.
That's right.
Yeah, you're watching the sunset right now, and the beauty, the peace, the serenity, like the true calmness is in this exact moment. And right so there. I tell people this all the time. My purpose is to live in a singular moment, and then another singular moment, and another singular moment. Like, this conversation is all that's real. It's all that's happening. There's birds flying. There's people driving. There's millions being made. There's millions being lost. There's people crying. There's people laughing all over the world. But like, the only thing that exists is this right now.
Yep.
And literally what we were talking about 10 seconds ago doesn't exist anymore.
Yep.
And I have no clue what we're going to talk about in the next 10 seconds. God willing, we have the next 10 seconds.
That's right. That's right.
So when you bring your mind into this reality of right here, right now is all that exists. Mm. And it's all I have control over. And it's all I literally like need.
It changes everything.
It changes the entire game. Yep. So I'm far less depressed than I used to be.
Yep.
I'm far less anxious than I used to be.
Yep.
I don't worry about my bank account versus his bank account, or my income level versus his income level, or my past versus his past, or my future versus their future. I realize like right here, right now is all I have. And it's all that's real, because tomorrow literally might not come for me.
That's right.
And it ain't a way where I'm like, oh, I'm going to, you know, there's a lot of people that didn't wake up today. They're our age.
That's right.
And it's not because they OD'd or killed themselves. God was like, yo, you're out.
All set. You're done.
And they had plans for today.
That's right.
They had plans for date night with their queen, or they had plans to go watch their kid play soccer or football or baseball or whatever.
Yep.
And they just didn't wake up.
Yeah, that's it.
And so my entire game, my entire life, my entire mantra, the entire reality around lions, not sheep, is understanding that if you can create a singular moment and live fully in that moment, that's everything.
You're set.
That's literally everything.
That's it. Dude, so good. And the word that you use, that I use all the time, so I think it's peace. It's exactly that. It's peace. It's peace of mind, you know, and it's understanding that moment to moment reality, dude, just gives you this peace that so few people have. And I definitely had my own journey, right? The ups and downs, the struggles of trying to get to that point and figuring out how do I get to this peaceful sort of scenario. And one of the biggest blessings I've had is in these last, you know, 5, 6, 7 years, I've gotten to travel around the world and speak in front of thousands and thousands of people, about 250,000 people over the last about 7 years. So, you know, all the Fortune 500s you can think of. And I've gotten to sit down with all these leaders. I've been on these freaking jets with these guys who own banks, and they're breaking down and they're crying in their private jet. Because life sucks, because they've been programmed to do this, because they're depressed about the way their life was, because they're not sure about the future. And I came to realize very early on, not because I was raised, I had to go through my battle to figure all this stuff out too. But once I got to that point where I had this peace of mind, I started realizing, holy shit, like there's not very many people that have that peace of mind. And when you do have that, you
have control over that. And this is what, especially for young people, right? Yeah. Like young people, you're told like, you got to make money. You got to build a business. You got to be successful. And you got to.
Yeah.
Like, I want to tell you, as somebody who makes a lot of money and who lives in a big house and has a lot of fun, like the reason that this came to me and I built what I built is not because I was in competition with somebody else. It was because I did this the wrong way.
Yep.
And I built it up and I had everything and I had all the shit. And it was always like tomorrow. And then all of a sudden, like, you burn the whole thing down and you're like, fuck, what if tomorrow doesn't even exist?
Yep.
And so when you find yourself living in a singular moment, you actually hear people.
Yeah.
You can actually connect to customers.
Yeah.
And to clients and to yourself. And you can have conversations like this where it's real and you feel it. And, and if you're listening right now, this is different than what you've probably been taught, because success is supposed to be climb the ladder, do the deal.
Bullshit.
And I'm telling you, that's bullshit.
Yeah.
I'm telling you straight up, that's bullshit. As somebody who's done it.
That's right.
It's bullshit.
That's right.
Because the truth is, if I don't live tomorrow, if I'm dead tonight, like, I want to know that I lived a life where my kids know me.
Yeah.
They experienced me.
Yep.
And if you're a kid right now, like, understand, like, wherever you're at, whatever you're doing, just be there. Don't worry about tomorrow.
Yeah.
Tomorrow's going to come if it's going to come. And what's going to come is going to come.
That's right.
And when you're living in a place like that, it's not this place of just, oh, dude, peace and love. And yeah, I don't care about anything. And I don't need any money. Bullshit. Like in this singular moment, like understanding that it's yours. Yep. And you can build whatever you want, be whatever you want, say whatever you want, experience whatever you want. And you're in complete fucking control.
That's right. That's right. God, that's that. You just summed up our quote unquote curriculum in a nutshell, right? Like that's it.
You graduated.
You graduated. That's right.
You got a whole high school education.
That's it, dude. That's it, man. As soon as you own that, you're good. There's nothing else that we can. I mean, that is it. As soon as you own that understanding and you've got that awareness, that it's the awareness and the confidence that it's born out of that understanding right there. Both of those things are born out of that. How did the physical play into this? One of the things I like too is you understand the connection between the physical and the mental, you know, and I know that's a big part of what you do. I know you've taken on 75 hard. We did that with a number of our high school boys last year, ran them through that. I got a bunch of other boys through this Apogee program with Timmy K that we're going to be doing that too. And I know you've taken on a lot of physical challenges. You and I have a kindred that we took on some fights early on too, in the mixed martial arts game. And yep. I, like, a big part of my journey was just being in the ring, getting pounded on for a little bit. Like, that's a huge self-awareness thing. That was the best part of it more than anything else. So how does the physical play into that for you on the day-to-day?
Yeah. Well, what I realized is that I did 75 hard about 2.5 years ago, and that was where my life really started to kind of change. It took me 40 years to kind of figure a lot of this stuff out. Yeah. It's not right. It's not wrong. It's not good. Like in my own mind, I think to myself, well, shit, if I die at 80, I'm halfway through life. Like, how many, was I supposed to learn this shit earlier or later? Like, I run the same racket. I have the same anxiety and thoughts, right? And I'm like, well, dude, I'm here now. Like, I figured this shit out now. Great. Like, now what? You know what I'm saying? It's not a comparison to anybody else. But for me, 75 hard rewrote the game in the way that it was sustainable.
Yeah.
My entire life, I mean, cut weight for a fight or my diets, right? Go on a 90-day competition with my friends and whoever, you know, loses the most weight or whatever gets them all the money. And the whole, like, I've done all that my entire life. And what I realized is that was very indicative of everything else in my life. Like, I'd make a ton of money and then it would struggle and go up and then struggle. Or my relationship would be on fire and then, And I'm like, fuck, man, I don't like that. Like, I don't expect life to be like this, but I don't want this.
Right.
And I realized, like, there's little peaks and valleys, but I'm constantly moving up. And when I did 75 hard, I realized how small I was playing. And that was what my biggest takeaway was, is I was able to live essentially 40 years of life, write a best-selling book, make millions of dollars, have kids, and I was operating at like 10% capacity.
Mm-hmm.
And going through 75 hard and building a body that I still have a six-pack, and I did it 2.5 years ago.
Yeah.
It changed, and it was the sustainable game versus this ebb and flow and up and down and the fad diets and the big deal. And, you know, we're only happy in the summertime kind of a thing. For me, the thing that's cool about the body is that it's 100% on me.
Yep.
Like a relationship, there's another person involved, right? Money, business, you have to have clients, and there's a stock market, and there's ebbs and there's flows, and you know, the real estate's up and then it's down, then it's up. You know, your body is all you.
Yeah.
What you put in your fucking mouth, what you lift, how you sweat has nothing to do with any human being on this planet. It doesn't matter how rich you are, how poor you are. If you have a phone, you have access to the same lessons,
that's
experiences,
right.
knowledge of how to get ripped as anybody on earth.
That's right.
You could literally go down to the park, which is where I did a lot of my 75 hard, and you can work out on a jungle gym. And I got ripped working out on a jungle gym. And so for me, I realized like how much I was allowing other aspects of my life to be dictated. And once I got control of the body, and what I mean by control is once I built what I wanted to build and realized that I can build whatever I want. Both my parents are overweight.
Yeah.
I got the same, you know, genetics.
Whatever
you want to say.
Totally.
You ain't big boned. Trust me. All of our bones look exactly the fucking same. So
that's right.
Save that shit for some other day or somebody else. But the truth is, The body's hard, mm-hmm. and the mind is connected to it. And I found myself at 75 hard multiple times, 12 o'clock, 12:30 at night. I'm done with my day, kids, the whole, I'm exhausted, and I still haven't done my 45-minute outdoor workout. And my mind was screaming at me, bro, dude, you're good. Your body needs rest. Sean, you need rest. The doctors, the experts say rest and the rest and rest. And I realized how much I had been telling myself these stories.
That's right.
20 years. And it was those nights where, like, I would just get up. I literally put my Crocs on, bro, and I would just walk for 45 minutes. And I had to be exact 45 minutes or more. Like, I've never undercut it. And it was those moments that rewrote the entire story for me.
That's right.
I can build whatever the hell I want to build.
Yep.
I want to build a six pack. I'd never had a six pack in my entire life in 40 years. I'd had five MMA fights. I've done two Ironmans, mm-hmm. two full triathlons. I'm an active fella, and I'd never had a six pack. And like, that was a challenge to me. Like, can I build this? Cause the story was all these freaking ripped dudes on Instagram. They spent 6 hours in the gym and blah, 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 blah. I spent 45 minutes in the gym.
Yep.
And I got a six pack and I'm ripped to shit.
Yep.
And it was like rewriting that story. And since then, my businesses have exploded with growth. I'm engaged to the love of my life. My kids are on fire. I'm mentally more stable, more clear, more powerful than I've ever been. So it's kind of like,
yeah, man,
all that shit adds up when you can get control of the body.
That's it.
Game over.
Yep. It's literally reprogramming all that stuff we're talking about at the beginning. You literally sustainably just reprogrammed. That was it. You took all the 40 years of cultural whatever. Here you go, Sean. Don't ask why. Here's all this stuff. And you're reprogramming all that stuff. Yep. And it's that extreme ownership sort of principle, right? It's
100%. Why can't I have a six pack?
That's right.
Yeah, but my parents are big. Why can't I have this? Yep. And there was no excuse. It was just purely up to me.
No reason.
And then once I did it, I was like, well, shit. If I can do this with my body, then what can I do with my business?
Yeah, that's right.
What can I do with my queen?
Yep.
What can I do with my kids? Like, and then all of a sudden, it's just that rewriting the stories.
That's right.
And once you've rewritten them, I think this is something huge to understand. Andy Priscilla and I talk about this all the time. Like, once you rewrite the story, you don't want to read any other story.
That's right.
You never go back to that. And I think that's something really important for people to understand is once you've experienced that with 75 hard, you never want to go back to the old story. It's like leveling up the game in a lot of ways. And you now know what the new reality is.
That's right.
And so I've seen some people that like go slide backwards, but they tell me straight up. They're like, I hate it. I hate it. Cause I know different. I know better.
Yeah.
And I just need to read that story versus the old story.
Yep. Yep. That's exactly right. Yeah. It's like I was thinking about that the other day. My kids, watching, I don't know what the hell, they don't watch a whole lot of TV, but they're watching something. And then my wife said something about seeing these old 80s cartoons. So we put on this 80s cartoon, showing them what the cartoons were Dad grew up with. And they're like, what the hell? And I'm looking at it going, dude, I wouldn't go back to that either. Like seeing what they see now, it's that same thing. You're rewriting, you've seen the better version. And so going back to it just seems kind of silly.
It's the same thing with money, with business, the whole thing. Like, well, I grew up in a single parent home. My mom worked two jobs. Like there's no silver spoon near me. And I can tell you that I've been flat ass broke and I've had millions of dollars and I like having millions of dollars better. Yeah. And I know what that looks like and tastes like and feels like. And I want to operate in that space. Yep. And I know what it takes of me to do that.
Yep.
And I like that better.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And
it's
the same thing with my body. I love waking up, taking my shirt off, looking at me better than this other one here. And I know what it takes to do that. So that's the game that I'm playing.
You know who you have to be to have that result. I like that, man.
Yep.
So let's say we got a young person who's coming out, who hears this and goes, all right, man, I love everything Sean's about, man. This lion's not sheep. Like I believe in that wholeheartedly, not just the brand, but I mean the entire mission, everything that he's saying. And so they are, maybe they're 18, they just graduated from high school, they're 22, just got out of college, whatever that looks like. And they go, Sean, man, I want to come work for you. I got to come out there to Lions on Sheep. What do you want to see from a young buck that's coming and going, man, I put me to work. Like, what do you want to see that would make you go, okay, I'm going to take a chance on this youngster?
That's a good question. Number one, I get hit up all the time. People saying, dude, I'll come out.
Yeah.
Like, I'll work for free. I don't want anything. I hate that.
Yeah.
I fucking hate that shit. Here's why. Nothing is free, right? Like, Yeah, but Sean, if you pull over on the side of the road and help somebody and you're giving this time, and Sean, you're always on social media giving these things, like, you got to understand the psychology behind it, right? Like, something that is really, really, really important to me is, number one, someone who loves what they do mm-hmm. and is good at what they do. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying the best, but you've got to be good totally. At what you do. And what, like, you might be a 18 years old yeah. and you're a computer designer, right? Or you're this or you're that. Like, I don't need you to have a pedigree of 27 years, but if, by God, if you love building websites and you are radically passionate about it and you are good at that,
yeah.
I'll bring you on all day long.
Yep.
And I tell you, as a business owner, what most business owners are looking for is not college and a pedigree and all this other bullshit. Right. They're looking for someone that loves what they do, is passionate about doing it, and works their ass off to be good at it.
That's right.
So this now poses another question, another problem. Is an 18-year-old kid going, well, I don't know what I love.
Yeah.
I don't know what I'm good at. Good. Go figure it out.
Yep.
Don't come to me and be like, well, I just want to shadow you and see. Right. No, bullshit.
Right.
Go out into the world. Go right. travel. Go work at McDonald's. Go get a fucking job working for your neighbor. Go scoop up some dog shit.
Yep.
Go sell some stuff online. Figure that out.
Yep.
Because I can tell you, there's nothing more powerful than a human being, and I don't care your age, 18, 28, 38, 58. There's nothing more powerful than a human being knowing what they love.
That's right.
And doing that.
That's right.
And again, like, going back and being 18, if I could go back and be 18 again, I thought I had to do these things. I had to get the job, and I had to do this, and I had to go to college, and I had to start saving money.
Yep.
Fuck that, man. If you're 18 years old, go live.
Yeah.
Yep. Travel the world. Yep. Experience shit.
Figure out who you are.
Go in the fucking Amazon jungle and walk around naked for a month and live with the Aborigines and some shit like that.
Yep.
If you're 18 years old, and you come to me and you got a skill set that you're passionate about, that you love, I'll bring you on.
Yeah.
But you come to me going, I don't know what I want in life. I'm not sure where I'm at. I don't want you.
That's right.
I want you to get your ass out in the world and go figure out who the fuck you are.
Bingo.
Go be passionate about something. Find something. Go learn new skill sets.
Like, bingo.
Put yourself in a room for a week and learn how to code. And you might go, fuck coding. I don't like coding. Great. Now you know.
Don't do it.
Don't be a coder.
That's
don't
it.
Go to college and be a computer engineer then.
That's
you
right.
know what I'm saying?
That's right.
You might find, I love making tacos and I make the best motherfucking tacos.
Yep.
You come to me and say, I love tacos. I'll be like, cool. Let's start a taco shop. Let's start a taco fucking truck.
Yeah.
But I'm only going to bring you on. I'm only going to do something with you if you were like, I am the best.
I love it. And I am a ninja. I am a ninja at it. Yep.
Period.
Yep. That's exactly it. Yeah. Dude. Yeah. So good. I can declare all day for the friggin' NBA, man, and just be like, I really, I know, you know what, and I'll play in the NBA for free, man, I'll do it. I'll come play, Mark Cuban, I will come play for the Mavericks for free. You're welcome, you know, nobody gives a shit because I suck. Like, yeah. It's not, you know, that's exactly right. Go be a freaking ninja at something to figure out who you are.
And I think the thing to really understand with this is that's not bad and that's not wrong.
Yeah.
Like, hear me for a second. If you're young listening to me
yep.
and you don't know, there's nothing wrong with that. Like, understand, I'm telling you, as a dude who runs multiple multi-million dollar companies, as a dad
yep.
of three kids, I got an 18-year-old, an 11-year-old, an 18-year-old, a 14-year-old, and an 11-year-old. I forgot one.
Yeah.
I don't remember their names half the time anyways. Whatever. Listen to me. That's not bad. And I don't give a shit what your mommy and daddy are telling you. No yep. offense to mommies and daddies. I don't care what your church tells you, what your school tells you. Go experience life,
that's
man.
That's right.
Like, if you don't know, don't lie, don't pretend, don't try and compare with all your homies or your buddies or your girlfriends. You're like, I don't know what I want in life. I don't know what I want to do.
That's right.
I don't know who I want to be. There's some real, real, real gangster shit in that. And I will tell you, as someone who was 30 years old, 32 years old, mm-hmm. when I melted my world down, I said the same damn thing. I don't know what I want.
Yep.
I don't know who I am. I don't know why I'm doing all of this. I've made millions. I was rocking $10,000 Rolexes. I was driving all the badass cars you see on Instagram. I had it all. I had the yep. boats, the shit, jets, the whole game. And at 31 years old, I was like, I don't fucking know why I'm doing any of this. Because when I was 18, it was like, do this,
right.
go here, bah, 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 bah. And I did all that. But I wasn't passionate about that shit.
That's
and
right.
if you can tell by the way I'm speaking now and my brand and what I do and the I fucking love what I'm doing now.
That's right.
I'm clear about what I'm doing, but it took me 12 years in the corporate world, in the business world, to figure that shit out. So if you're 18, 17, 16, 19 right now listening, and you don't know, good.
Yep.
Good.
Yep.
Good. Go figure it out.
Go figure it
go
out.
Go explore.
Dude.
Go fucking figure it out.
We had a call yesterday with some other guys in the network that are running schools like ours, and so we had like eight to ten owners from all over the world, and we're talking. We're saying, okay, what, like, how are we, you know? They're asking, like, how are you talking about this program to parents that are coming in, especially with high school? Like, what are we saying? Because it's so multifaceted what we do. It's so different. Can't even call it a school. It's a workplace for young people. Like, how are you explaining, you know, the trajectory for these young people when they come in? And I said, man, all we want them to do is collect experiences. We want them to collect as many experiences as they can, because that is the only way they're going to figure out exactly what we're talking about. It's the only way they're going to figure out who they are, what they really love, what gets them so fired up in the morning they can't even stand it. And it's the only way they're going to figure out what they're really good at. Where are they going to be this ninja? And if they can spend some time while they're here with us figuring out, well, I'm good at this and I love this, and they can figure out a way to put that together because they've collected so many experiences. This one that told them they were really good here, this one that told them that this sucks for me, and this one, if they can collect all of those, dude, they're going to go out and just, they're going to do whatever the hell they want to do, because they're going to know, they're going to have that. That's exactly what we're talking about.
Dude, I could not agree with that anymore.
That's so, like, good, man.
I don't, and again, if you're young and you're listening to this, like, I am an entrepreneur. I own multiple companies. I have employees, the whole game, right? I don't want to be on my deathbed with my kids, like, talking about dad's money and things. Yep. And all this other shit. Like, I truly, truly, truly want to die and spend my last penny.
Yeah.
On my deathbed.
Yeah.
Like, and I'm not making this shit up.
Yeah, I believe that.
I want to be laying on my deathbed. Chances are I'm never going to be on my deathbed. I'm going to, like, drive my race truck off a cliff, blow myself up with too much tan, right?
Way more Dukes of Hazzard. Yeah.
But let's just pretend I'm there. Like, what I want to literally be doing is smiling my ass off because my kids are talking about, Dad, you remember when we went and did this?
Yeah.
Dad, you remember when we went and did that? Dad, you remember when we went? Like, right now, my daughter, she's graduating high school this year. And my graduation present, my high school graduation present for all three of my kids, is I will take them anywhere in the world that they want to go. Just me and them.
That's awesome.
Anywhere you want to go.
Nope.
You can travel anywhere in the world, and I will take you wherever you want to go in the world. You want to go to Dubai, Tanzania, Africa, South America, the North fucking Pole, Antarctica, I don't care. Because I want that time. I want that experience with
you.
Right? And I think what I'm like so radically passionate about in life, and again, living in that present moment, is understanding that, like, if I want to collect experiences, like exactly like you said, someone asked me literally at the beginning of the year what I'm investing in 2021. I was on this big thing, Dan Fleischman, and in front of all these ballers who are making hundreds of millions of dollars. And they're like, Sean, we went and did a round robin. What everybody's investing in. This guy's investing in, you know, struggling airlines, and this guy's investing in apartment complexes. This guy's investing in weed and all this shit. It got to me, like, what are you investing in 2021? And I said, experiences. Like, I'm investing in experiences with my kids, with my friends, with my family, with people that I want to spend time with. Like, literally, I was just in Hawaii for a couple of weeks and called one of my friends and said, yo, come out and hang out with me for a couple of days. He and his wife jumped on a plane and came out, stayed in this beautiful beach house that we were in. Where there was no business there. There was no, hey, I need you to, it was just, yo, come smoke a cigar with me on the beach.
Yep.
And we had this experience. Like, I want to literally be like the guy that has, instead of the bookshelf of this, I want to have pictures of all of these experiences and places that I traveled and fun things that I did in my life. And I want to be on my deathbed with my kids going, Dad, you remember that time? And we have no shortage of these stories. Dad, I'll know that I lived a fulfilling life.
So good, man. So good.
As of right now, like, I'm literally doing exactly that in my life.
Yep. That's it. Well, I was talking to Mickler not too long ago too. We were on a Zoom talking about some stuff with schools and with the mentor program with these young guys, and we got on the conversation of Braveheart and kind of talking about that whole thing. It's his favorite movie, my favorite movie, but the thing that I remember it striking me when I was 14 or 15 or whatever when that came out is when he said, you know, something about how many men ever really live, you know, it's everybody dies, not everybody really lives. And I thought about that reality of just for most men, it's an existence, you know, it's an existence. It's not a life. And it's those experiences. It's a life. So who, one of the last questions on actually might be the last one that we didn't actually answer. So who are you paying attention to that you think is a good example of other people? I always have liked following your stuff because you are somebody who is living. You're living by example. You're creating those experiences. You actually are living out that mantra. You're not full of shit, saying one thing and then doing another. You're authentic to that mission, to that journey. Who are some other people that you pay attention to that you think are doing the same thing? Because there's not many.
There really aren't. And I want to say this like with 100% respect, because I hang out with a lot of really, really, really cool people.
Yeah.
And I honor and I respect every single one of them on their journey. What's really interesting, man, is I don't look to anybody.
Yeah.
Like I look to people for specific
sure.
things.
Yep.
Like, and I listen to people. Yep. Right. But you know, one of my good friends is Andy Frisilla, and he has a ridiculous car collection. It's his jam. It's what he loves. It's what he's passionate about is these exotic cars. It's just not my jam.
Yep.
Right. And I think a lot of times, a lot of my life, I was caught up with, this is what they're doing, and maybe this is what I should be doing, or maybe I should have the same thing, or maybe my thing should be like this. Mm-hmm. And I've caught myself a lot in life comparing,
yeah,
and then judging and saying, well, maybe that's what I should like and yeah. love too. And what I have found is that the more I do me.
Yep.
I look to myself, to be really candid. And that might be weird to some people or odd to some people.
Yeah.
But I have a really creative mind. And I look at it and I'm like, what do I want to do today? Yep. And I don't go through Instagram and go, well, he's doing this and he's doing this and he's doing this. Maybe I should be doing those things.
Yep.
I sit on my back deck and I smoke a cigar and I'm like, this is what I'm going to go do.
Yep.
I'm going to go here.
Yep.
I'm going to buy this. I'm going to do this. And so I want to say that with honor, because the reality is Ryan Mickler, right? These men, the Jesse Itzlers of the world, yeah. The Andy Frisillas, these guys that are Ed Milet.
Yeah.
But very, very, very powerful, successful,
yep.
honorable men in their own right. I don't look to any of them for how it is that I should live my life or what I should do. I honor their journey.
Right.
I steal like an artist from things that That's are working right. for them that I That's inject right. into my life.
Yep.
But for me, it's like, every day is this blank slate and I write what I want to write.
Bingo.
I'm inspired by books. I'm motivated by books, but I'm writing my own book.
That's right.
I'm writing my own chapters. I'm writing my own thoughts and my own feelings. And these are my desires. And to me, I found a lot of peace in that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah,
and so I look at other people. I observe other people. I listen to other people, but my journey is mine.
Yeah.
And I encourage anybody young, you know, to do the same thing. Like, listen to what Gary Vee is talking about, but your determination of success is not comparable
not
to
the same.
You doing more than Gary Vee or being more than Gary Vee or you having more cars than Andy Frisilla.
Yep.
Like, my success is mine.
Yeah.
My benchmark and level of success. It's an interesting question to ask, like, what is success, right?
Mm-hmm.
To me, success is I can buy myself and my family a first-class ticket anywhere in the world, anytime that I want. I've thought about this question for years.
Yeah.
What is success? Success to me is I can fly myself and my family anywhere in the world, whenever I want, wherever I want, first class.
There it is.
As long as I have that.
Yeah.
I'm successful.
You're solid.
If I have that capacity and that ability, I'm successful.
Yeah.
Right. And so I think what's really, really, really important is to look at other people, to model the good things, to
yep.
model the excitement, the passion, the ferocity, the tenacity in a lot of ways, but never, 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 never compare your life being successful based off of what somebody else is doing or what somebody else has.
That's right. That's so good, man. So good. That's it. We have, we got these rules in our house. We got 11 rules that are up on our wall. And number one is to be a copycat. And my kids know that means you are copying patterns. You are pulling out exactly what you said, like, ooh, I like the way this person has done this or this positive attribute. How do I incorporate that into my own personality, into my own journey? Steal like an artist. Boom. That's exactly it.
One of my favorite books.
Yep. So good, man. That's exactly it. But you're doing that in the context of defining your own success. It is your own journey. You've got the first class. I always want to make sure I'm the most, for me, I literally getting to the point where I have nothing that I want, which I am there. There is nothing at this point that I want. We've got the house that we want. We've got the family. Like, there's nothing I actually want. And I want to be the most at peace, the most confident, most self-aware person I know. I'm good. I'm done. I'm all set. Everything else is just gravy at this point because I've defined my success that way. That's exactly it. And it's that peace of mind, man, that we've been talking about.
Yeah.
Dude.
It's really, really, really powerful thing for people to understand.
Yeah.
Ed Milet talks about this, and it's something that I really appreciate. He says, he talks about being blissfully dissatisfied.
Yeah.
It's understanding that you can be at peace where you are, but striving for more, right? Yep. I'm sitting at home all day long just saying, this is great, and life's just happening to me. No, I'm building the things that I want. Like, it's a blank slate. I can do these things, and I'm never truly satisfied because I'm constantly growing and learning. I'm never satisfied with this answer, this book, because I want what's next. Give me more, right?
Yeah.
But I'm loving every word of it and appreciating it. But I'm sitting at this sunset watching the sunset.
Yeah.
And then I'm like, jack for the next one, right? Yeah. So this idea that, like, you could build your own reality and still hang with people that do different things than you, love different things than you, appreciate different things than you, and be really, really, really cool. And that's something I think is really powerful for young people to understand. Most of my friends, they have different loves than me. They have different appreciations than me. But we're all really close and really connected because we're all really, really, really true about who we are and what we love.
Bingo.
My jam is not this thing that his is, but my jam's this. And he knows I'm real with that, and I know he's real with this. And that's what connects us, is the truth and the reality and being able to be at peace with who you are, what you are, building your own world and loving that other people can build their own world too.
That's right.
Appreciating that. You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
It's a phenomenal, phenomenal experience.
That is what the human experience is supposed to be. Dude, I got to tell you, this has definitely been one of my absolute favorite conversations we've gotten to have. I know we're gonna chat schools for a sec offline and stuff too, but before we go, man, where do people go for Lions Not Sheep, man? Where would you have anybody go to figure out what you got going on?
LionsNotSheep.com, SeanWhalen.com. You can find me anywhere, any place, anytime, all over social media. So just launched a new podcast with my fiance.
That's right, man. That's I'm pumped, man. What's that gonna be? What's that called?
The Sean and Sack Show.
Okay.
Her name is Saxon. So the Sean and Sack Show, it's all over. It'll be on YouTube later this afternoon, but we literally launched it this morning. And
that's awesome.
That's a nerve-wracking thing, man. Getting with your girl and talking about real intimate.
Yeah, real stuff.
Relationship stuff. So I'm really pumped about it, though. It's stretching me, which is cool.
Yeah, which is a good thing. That's awesome, man. I look forward to checking that out. Thank you, brother. I appreciate your time, man.
Thank you, dude.
Give him a follow, Sean Whalen. Check out his website, SeanWhalen.com. Check out Lions Not Sheep. And they're branded on every platform as Lions Not Sheep as well. I hope you guys enjoyed that episode as much as I did. And I look forward to seeing you guys next time.